I know that this isn't the new year because we're 2 weeks into it at this point, but I just feel like we needed to hear a little bit about a new start. Well, many of you are familiar with one of my former pastors, a gentleman by the name of Chris Jordan, and he had a tagline. I don't know if anybody knows what I mean by that or not, but like, for example, Brad Walker, our current director of missions, he puts at the end of every communication that he has, it's all about Jesus, and that's his tagline. And if I got a letter that he forgot to sign and he had that tagline, I'd know it was from Brad. Well, with Chris Jordan, I know that he always had this tagline, another day, another opportunity. That's something that he said a lot. And I liked the optimism that you find in that statement, because every day should be looked at as a new opportunity. Chris was an optimistic kind of guy. When we first met him, they had no children. Today, he's got 9 children, and I think optimism is one of those things that's kind of necessary for somebody that's got 9 kids. But anyway, New Year's Eve, a couple weeks ago. How many of you stayed up to see the new year come in? Okay. I'm surprised it's not more of you. But whenever I was a little kid, they wouldn't let me stay up till midnight. They always made me go to bed at the regular time. I remember the very first time I stayed with my grandparents, and they let me stay up till midnight, and they had a dinner bell out in the front yard, and we went out at midnight and rang the bell, and I felt like I had arrived because I got to see the new year in. And then for the next several decades, I stayed up to see the new year come in, and I've come full circle now, because I can't stay up till midnight. There's got to be some reason for it, I guess, and it's got to be more than just the new year. But I have discovered this. The new year comes in very nicely without me having to watch it. So anyway, one of the things that I think about as I look back over 2017, it was last week, I think on the 11th, that Evan and Robin and Aubrey and I were returning from our journey to Southeast Asia. And I remember that while we were there in Southeast Asia, we were wearing shorts and we were sweating. And we even sweat while we ate sometimes because the food was really spicy, especially if you got one of those little green things that I don't remember what they called that. Hawaiian chili pepper. If you ever come across one of those, don't come across it. A couple people had the gumption to try it, and we all learned our lesson. But one of the things that I see is looking back is always easy. It's always easy to look back on what's happened and the good old days, that kind of stuff. And one of the things I've thought about during the really cold spell that we've been going through is that my good old days included going out in the morning, milking 20 cows. I'd have to get wet to get the cows wet to clean them off so that we could milk them. And then they're in the barn, and it's a little warmer in the barn than it was outside. And so all the snow that's on the back of the cows is melting off onto me. And I think I can directly trace my dislike for cold weather to that time period. I didn't mind milking cows, but I didn't like it in the wintertime. Anyway, that's the good old days. And a lot of times when we look back on the good old days, we forget about the difficult times. We just kind of see things in a brighter light. In any regard, New Year's a time for reflection. And for whatever reason it is, we tend to see January 1st as a time to make a new start. And so many of you probably are planning to get a hold of Chris or somebody to see if they can lead you through a new exercise regimen, because it's a new year, and we try to do that. And I heard him saying this at the gym the other day, that this was before the new year, and they said that January 1st, we're going to get a lot of new people coming in wanting to exercise. And about January 20th or so, those people will disappear for the most part. Same thing with a diet plan. I always have a plan once the new year starts. I'm going to eat healthier and I'm going to lose weight and all that kind of stuff. Here's one I really think you ought to try. And it's not too deep into the new year not to get it started now. But have a plan for getting into God's Word, for reading the Bible. And I'm not telling you got to read it through, but spend time in God's Word every single day. I really encourage you to do that. Use the plan that's in the open windows or the daily bread, whatever it is. There's plans on your phones now you can probably use. So get into God's Word. One of the things that I always found unusual or weird, I guess, about January 1st is why do we choose that particular day to start something? I mean, it can be in June or August or somewhere, and there's things that we ought to start, but we think, well, I'll start it on January 1st. Praise God, he doesn't wait for making changes. The scripture that I asked him to use last week, and I'm going to use it here today, is Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 3. And it says this, "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." We don't have to wait till Monday or January 1st or some other milestone that we've chosen. Every morning his mercies are new, and I just praise God for that. We're going to look today at a way that God will make a way, and I love the picture there. It goes away after a little bit, so I want you to look at it because it shows exactly what I think of when I think of God making a way, parting the seas so that we can go through. And I look at that picture and I think about this. If that was me and you and somebody and God somehow parted the Atlantic Ocean, would you walk over to Europe through that? We probably wouldn't have the faith that it takes. Well, I see God's made a way, but there's no guarantee they're going to stay like that. So I think I'll just stay back here in the old days. Well, God made a way. We're called to go through and follow that way. We're going to look today at Isaiah chapter 43, verses 15 through 19. I'm going to ask if you would and are able to please stand as we read through God's word. Chapter 43 of Isaiah, verses 15 through 19, reads like this, "I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinguished, they are quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Well, as I've already told you, I've been a little under the weather this past week and still don't feel 100%. But Evan was just sharing with me about some pastor that he had in the past who passed out while he was preaching, basically. So if that happens, Evan's ready to leap up here. I know. So anyway, in the verse that precedes what I just read to you, Isaiah 43:14, God told the people of Israel that they were going to be exiled to Babylon. Now, Babylon is present-day Iraq, and we have a soldier who just returned from Iraq, I think. He's not here today, but he's back in the States. And I think about that, you know, that's of all the places on earth that we might say, I'd love to go there, my guess is Iraq is not on most of your lists. And it's just not, you know, a big tourist attraction or anything like that. But that's where God exiled the people of Israel to. And one of the things that I find in verse 14 that's just really amazing is he says, "For your sake, I will send you to Babylon. For your sake, I will send to Babylon." He sent them to a desolate place, to an enemy place, one of the greatest enemies of Israel, and he sent them there for their sake. Now, when you and I go through trials and tribulations, God could say very much the same thing to us. You're going through this for your sake. As a parent, we used to tell kids, and probably you used this line, maybe you had this line used on you, that the punishment we're about to administer is for your own good. And no kid ever believes that, at least not at that time. But in reality, the things that we go through grow us. And we need to give God the praise that he does these things for our sake. God also said in verse 14 that he was the Redeemer of Israel. He was the Holy One. He knows what's best for us. And if a little exile to Babylon, to Iraq, is what we need, that's what he's going to do for us. And it will grow us as a result. No doubt, many of you have your own testimonies about having gone through exile in some place in order to grow you into what God wants you to be. Then in verse 15, after explaining that God is our Redeemer, he says this, "I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King." Now, Isaiah was the prophet of Israel during the reigns of at least four different kings when I looked this up. But God clearly states here that despite the reigns of those four other kings, God is the king of Israel. And I think that's something we need to cling to in all times. It doesn't matter who our leader is. We have to recognize that God is our king, regardless of who happens to be on the throne at the time. He is our Lord. He is the Holy One. There is no other who is holy besides God. Then it says he's the creator of Israel. He's also the creator of the USA. He's the creator of Missouri. He's the creator of Bethany. He's the creator of Miller Street. He's the creator of all things that we have here in this place. And whatever we may be facing, God is aware of it. And he's going to use it. God will make a way. I say this almost every time that we talk about this. You know, I think God allows tribulations that we go through. I don't think he necessarily causes them, but I do know this. Whatever we're going through, he can use it to change us, to grow us, to improve us. He does it for our sake. Verse 16. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters. And it's hard to read that without thinking about the parting of the Red Sea. But it's also hard for me to read it without thinking about the way that he has worked mightily in my life, and I know in your lives, throughout our lifetimes. He's made a way when there seemed to be no way. He made a way through the Red Sea. He's made a way for you and I to get here on this day. I had people calling me and saying it's too slick to get up my hill and different things like that, and I understand that. That's the way it works sometimes. But he made a way for you to be here on this day. What he's talking about here in the sea and the path through the mighty waters, he made a way for the people of Israel to escape from the slavery of Egypt. And then in verse 16, it goes on with the same thought. It talks about horses and chariots and armies that are extinguished like a wick. And when we look at that picture that's the background for today's screen up there, and it shows this path, and I always think of it when I see this path through the water as something that we go through. But you know, it could be something that we look behind too. We look back to see that we've already come through these things. And in verse 16, it talks about how then it came back together. And it closed up over the armies of Egypt. And all of those things, the horses, the chariots, the soldiers, the armies, were extinguished like a wick. All the troubles that were chasing Israel were wiped out. God does the same thing for us. Once we come through something, we're stronger because of it, and he uses that in our lives. I don't know if anybody knows this very much, but I have written a lot of my memories down. Somebody told me I should do this whenever I was getting ready to retire from teaching. And I wrote all my memories of my education years down. And I don't know if I'll ever do anything with them or not. You'll probably never see them. My kids have seen it and different things. But I was just going back through that this past week while I was kind of sitting around with not much to do while I was in between naps this past week. And I was reading through and just amazed to see how many different times God brought me through something that I'd even forgotten about. How many different times he'd worked mightily in my life to get me to the point where I am today. And it's good to go back over past victories that God has given us. But we have to be careful about spending too much time reflecting on the past. I've read that the typical church in America today is declining. It's losing membership, it's losing money, it's losing everything. A lot of churches are dying. And one of the things that I read that was in common for churches that are not prospering is this. They spend too much time dwelling on the past. They think about the way things used to be. They think about back in the good old days when everything was the way that I wanted it and that type of thing. Everything was geared in these churches toward making everything like it used to be. And we've got to be really cautious about that. Because God doesn't, we celebrate the victories that he's given us, but God's got something new for us. He's got a new creation, a new day planned for us. And I really think a new year is an opportunity to break free of what used to be instead of clinging to it and desiring to go back to the old days. Of course, I'm a history guy, and I'm big on being reminded of our history. I think we've got to be reminded of the past in some ways because we learn from it. But we also recognize we don't want to go back to the way things used to be. We don't want to go back to the days before, maybe we should, before the internet, before cell phones, before all those different things. Life was different then. I'm sure many of you remember that. But the thing of it is, it's here, it's changed. God's brought us to this place, and we need to not be thinking about how good things used to be. Look instead toward what he's got planned for us. Verse 18, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Well, again, this was supposed to be the message for the first Sunday after the new year, so all these things don't necessarily apply. But for the most part, we filed away things from Christmas. I was reading stuff on Facebook from people who were putting their Christmas tree up in like June or something like that, you know, and thinking how wonderful it is to have the tree up. Most of you got it down by now. Now, we still have some remnants. We still have rejoice. We should still rejoice. But the thing of it is, we've stored away most of the Christmas stuff because it's a new year. The Christmas carols that I love to sing, and I still hope we sing some of them in July. I think it's a good thing to remember that. But for the most part, we put them away after the new year. One of the songs that we always hear on New Year's, if they stay up that late, is a song called Auld Lang Syne. I can't even say it, let alone sing it or tell you what it means. But research tells me that this was an old Scottish poem that was set to the tune of some song that already existed. And we sing it, or we hear it sung, but do we know what it means? Auld Lang Syne means for the sake of old times. And the idea is, when it says, should old acquaintance be forgot, just because it's a new year doesn't mean that we turn our back on everything that happened in 2017 or on the people that we were in contact with before. But we don't focus on it. We don't dwell on it. Verse 18 tells us again, we should not remember the former things. Is that a command? Should we just look at this and think, well, everything that happened in my past, I need to just wipe free? I don't think so. I don't think we should just file it away to forget completely. But as we see in the next verse, it's not so much a command to forget what God has already done in our lives as it is to start preparing right now for what he's got planned for you as an individual, for us as a church, for Christianity in general. God's got plans for us. One of the things that I've seen, it's pretty easy to be satisfied. It's pretty easy to say, well, look where we are today compared to where we were in the past. We've done pretty well. So we have a tendency to get complacent. Right now, I feel really hot up here. I don't know if it is, but I want you to know it's 25 below in this church. And what I mean by that is, if you take the average attendance of the past month and compare it to a year ago, we're 25 below what we used to be. Now, I tell you that not to say, you know, it's all about numbers, and it shouldn't be about numbers. But every one of those numbers represents an individual, and they should matter. There are people missing. And we have a tendency to get complacent about that and think, well, we've still got a pretty good crowd for a snowy day that's cold. You know, we should be satisfied with that. No, I don't think we should. I don't think we should ever get complacent and think we're better off than we were at some point in the past. We have to consider that every person that's missing is an individual. God knows their name. God cares about them. And he wants them to be a part of a worship service. Now, I don't know where they're all at. I don't know, you know, for the most part, most of the people on the list still come periodically. But we can't get complacent and say it's better than it used to be. And again, I know it's not about numbers, but it is about individuals. Where are they? What are they doing? Has anybody ever gone to them and said, we miss you, we need you? And I pray that we would take that into consideration. One of the worst things about cold weather for me is that this happens. People don't come when it's cold. People don't come when it's icy or snowy, and I understand that. And I tell you again, we're going to have church in the morning almost no matter what, but I know that it's going to keep some people from getting out. But then I also know this summer when we were down, people said, well, it's summer, you know. And now they say, well, it's winter. And I just don't want us to ever be complacent and satisfied. We need to reach out. We need to let people know that they're missed. If people don't come because it's cold and people don't come because it's hot, why do we come? And my prayer is that we come so that we can grow closer to the Lord and worship Him. Habits are hard to make. I read this somewhere that it takes 2 months to establish a habit. And for example, like say reading your Bible every day, you're going to forget. You're going to have days that you don't have time to do it. But you need to establish a habit of that. Habits are also hard to break. I quit smoking about 35 years ago. It wasn't easy. I quit smoking about 17 times, I think, something like that. But it's a hard habit to break. But I just don't understand, I guess, why the church habit is so easy to break. Once you miss one Sunday or two Sundays, it gets really easy to stay home the next time. I don't think God meant when He said, don't remember the former things, that we should just cast everything from the past aside. But again, He wants us to be looking forward to what He's got planned for us. Another thing about don't remember the former things could mean don't dwell on the failures of the past. All of us have sin in our lives, and we can focus on that sin, or we can think about the failures that we've had in that regard, or we can move on and recognize that if we've repented and turned from it, God has forgiven us. He's wiped it clean. And we need to look ahead instead to what He's got in store for us. And the first part of verse 19, I've lost a page, says this, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? And that's why we don't get stuck in the past. God's preparing a new thing. Robert read to you earlier from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, a wonderful verse, a wonderful promise. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that's what I'm trying to focus on here. Look at the things that God has changed, that He has improved in your life. If we spend all of our time in the past, we're going to miss what's happening right now. That's true in your life. It's true in your job. It's true in the church. And it's also true in your individual life. It says what He's got planned is going to spring forth. There's no doubt that it will be an act of God when we see it come forth, because it's going to spring forth. I love the word spring, but what I picture here is like when you plant a row of corn, and it takes a few days, but eventually you see the leaf popping up. It springs forth. It brings new life. And that sounds really appealing in January. Then comes this last phrase, I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. This past year in Bethany, at least, we celebrated the 100th anniversary of something called the Jefferson Highway. In 1917, a road was begun that was going to take you from, basically from the Canadian border to the Mexican border, from Minnesota through Texas. It was called the Pine to Palm Highway. And the first years, about the first 15 years or so that it existed, there was only one paved lane. It was a two-lane road, but only one lane was paved. And as you were traveling down that road, most people stayed on the paved side. And then when they met somebody, one of them had to get off. Can you imagine driving down the interstate like that today? First of all, there weren't a lot of cars back in 1917. But the thing of it was, before this road was built, that was a big improvement. And before that road was built, people had to follow cattle paths, and they had to open gates, and they had to ford streams in order to go from one town to the other. And if you're familiar at all with the old Highway 69, which is the Jefferson Highway, you know that it doesn't go through hills, it goes around them. And that's why there are so many curves in that original road. All this because it was a road in the wilderness. It was a marvel of modern technology in 1917. Not so much today. God will make a way. He'll even make a road in the wilderness that may seem impossible. He'll make a river in the desert. And I want you to think about that. If you've ever been to the desert, they tell me that there are things called mirages, and I've never actually seen one, but, you know, it looks like there's water up ahead, and you get there, and it's not there. He'll make a river, not just a mirage, not just a puddle, but a river in the desert, a river of blessing flowing where there used to be nothing but dry, hot sand. We stand today, even though it's a week later, on the threshold of a new year, 2018. God tells us in his word, don't waste time longing for the past. Do all things for his name's sake. Be prepared for what God's got planned for you now and in the future, and give him the glory in all things. Blessings are going to flow in ways and in places that you never dreamed possible. And I really pray that you find that in the year 2018. I pray that none of us ever approach a new year with dread. Just know this, if you feel like there's no way to get through what you're going through, God will make a way. He's promised us this in his word. He'll make an interstate in the wilderness, and he'll make a river to flow through the dry, hot places. The road may not be the one that you would pick, but he's laid it out for you, and he wants you to follow the path that he set before you. I think about the scripture again. Are you a new creation? Today, are you somebody new in Christ? And even if you've been a believer for 50 years, every day his mercies are new. Every day he wants you to be a new creation. Today, as we prepare for invitation time, I just want to kind of reiterate what Brett said last week. It's an opportunity for you to do a lot of things. Just come up and pray for somebody or for something. If you want one of us to pray with you, we'd be happy to do that. Or just come up and pray on your own. If it is also a time for you to make a decision to follow Christ. And if you've never done that, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, this is an opportunity for you to do that. This morning in the first service, we had two new members come to the church, come and ask to join our church. And it's an opportunity for you to do that as well. If you've been coming here but have never joined, we encourage you to do that. I don't ever try to take anybody away from anybody else, but I just want you to know that if this is where God's using you, if this is where God's feeding you, he wants to use you in this place as well. So we're going to have a time of invitation, and those are the things that you might want to consider. Anything else that you need to be in prayer with us about, we'd be happy to do that. And then after we have the invitation, we'll have the Lord's Supper. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll have that time. Father, just thank you so much for your word. I thank you that your mercies are new every morning. I count on that, Lord, and I thank you so much that each day you give us a new opportunity to start over again. Lord, I pray that as we embark upon this new year, that we see this as truly just another opportunity to follow you, to be closer to you, to grow closer to you, to do more in the church, whatever it is that you're calling upon each of us to do, Lord. I know that you've told us, despite the obstacles that we might see with our eyes, you will make a way, and I thank you for that, Lord. If there be one here today that needs to make a decision for you, let this be the day that they step forward and do that. And I just pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.